All right, welcome to the new service manual study. We are glad you are all here. My name is Dee, and I am an alcoholic. I am currently serving in Florida's District 6 of Area 15 as a district committee member, otherwise known as a DCM. I will be facilitating this 13-week service workshop with Billy N., a past Panel 49 delegate and past General B service trustee, as he shares his experience, strength, and hope, walking us through our new service manual. If you have not already received the new service manual, you may click on the link that we will provide in the chat to obtain an electronic version. Or for a hard copy, you may contact your local central office, intergroup, district committee member, or click on the link in the chat in order to order directly from the Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. In the chat, we will also provide you with a link to all the recordings and resources referenced throughout this 13-week service manual study. If you are uncertain how to save it from the chat, please send me an email to my email that's on the screen under my name, but I will also post that in the chat. Don't send me your email in the chat as it does not get saved. You'll have to email it to me. The features for renaming, chatting publicly, and unmuting have been disabled for the safety of all in attendance. Our American Sign Language interpreter, Luciana, has been spotlighted for those in attendance in need of her services. I will now open this service workshop with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Billy, thank you for being here. It's all yours.
Thanks, Dee. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Hello, everyone. And happy new year to everyone. Couple things to get out of the way. Dee had let me know last week that there were a few people who were not happy that the interpreter is pinned. Dee is probably much more spiritual than I, because I would have given much different answers to the people who sent that in. So I just want to repeat again tonight, just so that everyone is clear and that I am not the best person to do a workshop. You can go to better ones. That if you really have a hard time, that you have to see the person who's speaking speak, you're at the long workshop. We have made a commitment to make this one accessible to those who need American Sign Language, and it will remain this way. I get it, some people don't like it. I just wanna just reinforce that it's not going away. I also want to thank, you know, one of the great things about AA is you get to meet some great people. You get to know them well. And, you know, some of those people have no problem, like last week when I said we were going to use the Traditions Illustrated book tonight. Somebody that I respect a lot sent me a note saying, come on, can't stand that, especially this one section. So she's right, by the way, on that one section. Just want to. But here's what I want to use with that lesson for everybody tonight. I can't tell you how many times I would be somewhere for AA and someone would read like three lines of a Bill W. letter that completely reinforced how they think everything should go and why everybody else is wrong. The problem with that is 90% of the time that happens, when you read the whole letter, it has a complete opposite message than the two or three lines that were cherry-picked. And alcoholics are experts at cherry-picking sentences. And I'm pleading guilty myself. And I'll just tell you as an example, you know, the other day at a meeting that I attend, the topic was judgment. And the page they were referring to, you know, in the Daily Reflections, it gives the original source of which AA literature it's referring to. And the sentence or two that they have in the Daily Reflections is ridiculous. It has nothing to do, nothing. The section on judgment that it came from was about no one else judging another to be an alcoholic in tradition three and letting them make that decision. But yet we can't help ourselves. So the point I want to make is we could all find something wrong with every single piece of literature, including myself. And the books that aren't original source documents, sometimes what happens is people want their individual little belief to get weaved into it. And yes, there are parts of the Traditions Illustrated, even the old one, where it does not match other conference-approved literature. The reason I mentioned Traditions Illustrated is because I'm just going to stay at a high level, a really, really high level. Because what I want to encourage everyone here is the following. And if your view of school is like mine, you're not going to like this. But if I could properly show it, like, do you see that pile of books there? See that pile of books? That is a ridiculous pile of books. You really probably have some kind of mental health issue like I do, that that pile is there and you've read them all a couple of times each. But the point I want to get across is this. I don't want you to believe anything I say about the traditions. I have my own beliefs. I have my own interpretation. I think I know what it says. And I'm pretty confident in how I feel. However, I am more interested in you reading it yourself and having your own experience. And, you know, my experience with these books is that they cause you to want to read the other books even more because you get thirsty for information and for history. And, you know, I just want to, you know, point out for everybody here who maybe has not gone down the road with the traditions, this pamphlet, Problem Other Than Alcohol, is awesome. It's great. The smaller one, not bad. I'm not a big fan of abbreviated things, but it's not bad. The Traditions Illustrated, for the most part, very good. The AA group pamphlet, perhaps my favorite pamphlet. The Language of the Heart, all of Bill W.'s Grapevine writings, all in one place with an index. Amazing. Pass It On, another great book of AA history. My Alcoholic, this is my AA Comes of Age. It's a disaster falling apart. But AA Comes of Age, a great book. The 12 and 12. And the book that came out last year, Our Chief Responsibility. I'm not asking you all to read them in 1 week or 1 month or even 6 months. I'm just saying that reading those books will cause you to read other books and to dig down. Because it's amazing. Our literature is amazing. Even the best of Bill. See how small this book is? I don't know how many people have read it. I have no idea. But I can tell you, you ever go to a meeting where somebody as arrogant as I could be says the following? Oh, I'm not going to tell you my drunkalog. If I tell you you're an alcoholic, you should know what that means. You know, you ever hear somebody say that? Drives me crazy. The newcomer doesn't know what it means. I mean, who are they talking to when they say that? But, you know, in the best of Bill, and this is why I want to give this example of how great our literature is. In the best of Bill, in the story, Faith, God as We Understand Him, April 61 of the Grapevine, Bill W. says this about drunkalots, not what you hear in meetings. He says, here's a recent example of the high cost of spiritual pride. A very tough-minded prospect was taken to his first AA meeting. The first speaker majored on his own drinking pattern. The prospect seemed impressed. So listen to what Bill said. The first speaker majored on his own drinking pattern, and the prospect seemed impressed. And then he says this. The next two speakers, or maybe lecturers, each theme their talks on God as I understand him. This could have been good too, but it wasn't. Their trouble was their attitude, the way they presented their experience. They oozed arrogance. In fact, the final speaker got so far overboard on some of his personal theological convictions. With perfect fidelity, both were repeating my performance of years before. Quite unspoken, yet implicit, and everything they said was the same idea. Folks, listen to us. We have the only true brand of AA, and you better get it. I love that line. I love that Bill W. letter because I had never seen it before, and I discovered it. And that's my experience with our literature. So let's talk about traditions 1 to 6, but let's just, at a high level, talk about the traditions and talk about some basic rules. Rule number one, usually a good 80% of the time, the behavior in the reaction to a tradition's so-called violation is worse behavior than the actual violation they're trying to correct. That's rule number one. You cannot expect people to listen to you if they're watching your behavior and your actions. Why would they want to do that? Why would they want anything you have to do or say if your behavior is so horrible? So I just throw that out there. And number two, as I said last week, we have a bad habit in AA of blaming newcomers for all our problems as an organization. Not enough money in the basket, newcomers aren't putting enough money in. Discussion at the meeting went down a bad rabbit hole. Oh, newcomers, you know, they're bringing all that treatment nonsense into the meeting. They sent it there. Any problem we can blame on newcomers. And my experience is it's simply not true. Newcomers are only repeating or copying or saying something that they've seen somebody with time do before in a meeting. That's what they do. And that's why getting the message out to people with time is so much more important. And you're going to run into, like I said last week, you're going to run into people who tell you, and they honestly believe it. They say, Billy, I only need the big book and the 12 steps. The rest is AA politics. And they really believe it. And some of them spend many hours on the firing line, at a picnic table, at a kitchen table, at a diner with new people who are dying from alcoholism. And so I have the greatest respect for that. You are not going to convince those people to embrace the traditions by preaching to them or lecturing to them. My experience is you got to get them to understand that the only thing that allowed AA to be in existence for the day they got here was the traditions. That where would they be today if the day they went to AA, AA wasn't there? And I'm sure you all could ask yourself the same question. Where would you be in your life today if when you turned to AA, AA no longer existed? And that's why we have the traditions. You know, if you go to, and I've been to many, and I love big book workshops and big book studies, but you know, you go to one and you basically hear that everything was perfect in April of 1935 when they published the book. And we've been watering down AA ever since. You know, you got to kind of hear that theme. And, you know, there's a lot of things in that book that sometimes I think we don't read, like we know only a little. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Between 1939 and 1945, the early members of AA almost destroyed Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the truth. The spiritual solution worked. The 12 steps worked. Publishing the big book, even though it was a series of miracles that led to the money even being there to publish it, the solution works. What doesn't work is us getting along with other people. That's been a complete failure since there was two members of AA. It's been a complete failure. And Bill knew this. He really knew it. He saw the handwriting on the wall. He saw what was going on. He saw all these rules that were being made by certain groups. Rules that if they were here today, no one could get into AA. And so the traditions are not here to protect us from the outside world. I know we all want to believe that the reporter who published two AA members' names is trying to destroy AA, but he or she really is not. They're really not. And the traditions are to stop us from destroying AA. Bill knew that we were the largest culprits, that we are the ones who could destroy it from the inside. And that's why he worked so hard on the traditions. I'll just go through them. I'm going to talk at a high level. I hope enough, because there's a lot of people in here that know them better than I know them. That's not my humility. That's just a fact. There are some people in this room who are wicked, wicked smart when it comes to the traditions and the concepts and the conference charter. But I think most people can agree that at the end of the day, all we have is our unity. That's it. We have our unity. And like it says in one of the lines in the Traditions Illustrated, the other 11 traditions are a way to get there and stay there. They're there to help us keep our unity. And unity is super important. Because there's a quality of unity in all the other traditions. If I were to skip quickly and read the second tradition, for our group purpose, there is only one ultimate authority. A loving God, he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. And I'm not going to worry a lot tonight about the long and the short form, because you can all read that. And you can all look at the difference. I love the long form. That's not a secret. But why did I just read the second tradition? If talking about unity, I want to give you an example in my life. It's much easier making fun of yourself and using yourself as an example. We all know the preamble was just changed. Most of us know. Anyone here been to a meeting? I mean, it's one thing when they still read the old one. But has anyone been to a meeting where not only do they read the old one, but the person reading needs to reinforce men and women at like 3 octaves louder than the rest of the words they're reading? That's not really unity. In fact, that might be disunity. Because the second tradition says God speaks through a group conscience, and we had one. Whether you like it or not is really not up for debate. And I'm just going to give you my example. I hate the blue card. Anyone who knows me knows I hate the blue card. The blue card for the open meeting that they changed the conference approved literature language that's in the AA group. They left a line off the blue card. And they've never fixed it. And it drives me crazy. And so I travel for work a lot. Too many times I'll be minding my own business. Just got a good cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, sat down in a chair, and I just want to go to a meeting. And I see the chairperson walking around the room with like three pieces of laminated paper in their hands. We all know what that means. They're looking for people to read. And whenever I see that, I just say to myself, give me anything but the blue card. I'll even read how it works. It's super long, but I'll read it. Just don't give me the blue card. And as you probably know, a few times a year, what do I get? The blue card. And then what do they say? Oh, what's your name? Billy. Oh, yeah, here, Billy, would you read the blue card? Sure. But I say that because I hate the blue card, but I read the blue card. And I read the print that's on the blue card. I don't add the sentence that I believe should be there because that's what's in the AA group pamphlet. I just read what they hand to me because AA unity is more important than my ego or my belief or my need to correct or anything like that. You know, the only thing I will say, just jumping back to the first tradition for a second, is that, you know, people say you can't get thrown out of AA. That's true. How amazing is that? We are the, until there were other 12-step fellowships, but the only organization that you couldn't get thrown out of. Now, what's the confusing part of that? You can be thrown out of an AA meeting or an AA group and still have your AA membership. So when people are like, well, you can't throw me out. Well, yes, we can. And why is that? Because providing a safe and effective meeting location and meeting behavior is more important than somebody who needs to disrupt the meeting or prevent a newcomer from hearing the message. So, you can get thrown out of an AA meeting. You can get thrown out of an AA group, but you can't get thrown out of AA. Problem is, we don't have membership ID cards. However, prior to 1945, we did. That's one of the reasons that the 12 traditions had to be written, because these lunatics in some groups decided to make ID cards so that you could put it in your wallet and have your name and your date of sobriety and your home group, which whatever catchy little phrase from the big book you decided to print on at the printers. We don't have ID cards. But our unity is all we have. It is the number one. Let me go to the group conscience for a second, and let me just give a plug for AA Comes of Age, a big one. If there is one lesson that AA Comes of Age gets across, is that the group always knows better. Always. The group knows better than the wise old timer. The group knows better than the newest newcomer. The group even knows better than the smartest past trustee in the room. The group knows better. Now, does the group make mistakes at time? Yes. We might be the largest, most self-correcting organization in the world. Just look at the history of advisory actions of the General Service Conference. I mean, just read year after year when we changed our mind on certain things. I mean, it's almost like the General Service Conference of Schizophrenics, not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like, wait a minute, didn't we decide something opposite 4 years ago? Well, yeah, we did. But we're self-correcting. But if you honor self-correcting, you have to honor the group conscience. And that's hard sometimes. And it's really hard for people sometimes to just believe that the group always knows better. Tradition three, which the person who told me they can't stand Traditions Illustrated, it's about tradition three. And I don't blame them for the particular part they don't like. But I want to keep it at this. We have a qualifier, not a disqualifier. I think that is the most important thing to remember about tradition three. If you really believe that outside issues don't belong in AA, then you should embrace that we have a qualifier. If you're an alcoholic, you get to be a member of AA. Now, I will go to a quick little literature quoting, because sometimes people in AA say, you're an AA member if you say you are. And they say that like they're quoting literature, but they're not. I'll read you the quote. So the hand of Providence early gave us a sign that any alcoholic is a member of our society when he says so, which goes along with the long form of the third tradition, which is, you know, I don't want to, especially since this is being recorded, I do not want to paraphrase. Our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism, period. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover, nor AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. So you have to be an alcoholic to be an AA member. You don't have to be an alcoholic to go to AA meetings. You can go to a closed meeting and not be an alcoholic. You just have to have a desire to stop drinking and a drinking problem. See, that comes out of the AA group pamphlet. See, how many people do we hear tell people, oh, you never drank? Just go there and tell them you have a desire to stop drinking. That's not what they were talking about when they wrote this. That's not what they were thinking of. They weren't thinking of a loophole for people who never drank. It says right here, closed meetings are for AA members only, or for those who have a drinking problem and have a desire to stop drinking. So we don't chase people out of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you read the original essays, which are in Language of the Heart, I love how Bill writes about the third and the fifth tradition. We have to give people as much room and as much time to figure out if they're an alcoholic. They're entitled to that. And that the patience falls on the side of the person already here, not the new person. We're supposed to be the patient ones. Now, what are the common ways we see this taken out of context in today's AA? We see it all over the place. We see people who have to say that they're an alcoholic and something else. It doesn't make me mad anymore. Used to. My friend John G kind of helped me out with this when I would really get bent out of shape about, you know, somebody who doesn't know how to identify themselves in an AA meeting. He would say, Billy, that person has 40 days. I don't believe anything a newcomer tells me for a year. Why are you getting so bent out of shape? So my rule of thumb is, am I willing to talk to the person in private? And not just in private for 2 minutes. See, a little rule I learned a long time ago about the traditions and about talking to people. I am not allowed to say anything to anyone outside an AA meeting if I'm not willing to also spend an hour or two in a coffee shop with them, with AA literature in front of me, and willing to spend the time that other people spend with me. If I'm willing to do that, then I could talk to someone. But we are a single soul purpose fellowship. Now, when AA first started, people didn't say they were an alcoholic. Most of them said their first and last name. But it's confusing. And we have to respect our singleness of purpose. And sure, people have lots of other problems. I say this everywhere I go. I mean, what's today's date? December 29th? Is the December 29th Zoom meeting at 7:30 or 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern? Is this going to be the first Alcoholics Anonymous gathering I've ever been to, where one of you is going to tell me you don't have one other problem? That your only problem is alcoholism? Of course not. We all have lots of other problems. But they have nothing to do with AA membership. Nothing to do with AA membership. And the other thing to really understand about this tradition, you'll notice that I didn't use the drug word yet. I just dropped it for the first time. The AA third tradition is about membership, not primary purpose. It's the most inclusive tradition we have. It gets rid of all barriers. It says we don't care what gender you are. We don't care what race you are. We don't care what nationality you are. We don't care what religion you are. We don't even care if you don't believe in God. We don't care what your sexuality is. None of it. We just care if you're an alcoholic. Now, the stories in the 12 and 12, or I should say the stories that get thrown around AA, are all taken out of context. The gentleman referred to in tradition three, just so you know, that's from Ohio. And that is not the transgendered gentleman with the blonde wig. That's a separate story that happened in New York, like 10 years later. The person referred to in tradition three was simply just a gay male. But remember, we're talking about the 1940s in Ohio. And that's the beauty of tradition three. Think about it. Look at who else is in this room tonight. When that tradition was written, and I'm not getting political, I'm just stating facts about the state of the country and the laws that were present. When that tradition was written, it was illegal for my brother to marry his husband. When that tradition was written, a lot of us in this room tonight, in a lot of states in the country that I live in, were not allowed to publicly assemble in the same room. That's not a political statement. I'm just sharing the law with you of how certain parts of the country were. So this tradition is light years ahead of its time when Bill wrote it, light years. And so I'm all for AA being as diverse as possible and as inclusive as possible. I want that today. But I don't want people to act as if the third tradition wasn't 100 years ahead of its time. So let's just quickly go to the fourth tradition, which some would argue, based on some comments that I've made over the years, that it might be my favorite one to talk about. I'm not sure. I think it's the funniest one in AA, for sure. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. I mean, remember I was throwing out my rules? Well, let's, if you're new to this, let's give you some rules to take back with you. As soon as you hear the fourth tradition mentioned at a district meeting, assembly, or AA group, usually it means someone is getting ready to back a tractor over about 4 to 6 of the other traditions. That is usually what happens whenever you hear the fourth tradition referenced. The fourth tradition was not written to be a veto over the other 11 traditions at all. Never was, never meant to. The fourth tradition was written about local customs. C-U-S-T-O-M-S, customs. I don't even like the term little t tradition because I think it sends the wrong message. I think customs and traditions. And when it comes to traditions, we only have 12. But we don't use the fourth tradition to break another tradition. But yet we see that and hear it all the time. And it says, you know, I love the line in a group pamphlet, in each neighborhood in every part of the world reached by AA, the local group is free to work out its own customs. So what are those customs? Okay. You're free to serve Earl Grey tea. How about that? Do you know you have that independence in AA? And if you don't like Earl Grey, you could serve English breakfast. And I don't want to sound like a heretic, but you don't, you know how some meetings have that big announcement, we serve excellent cake. Have you heard that announcement? Drives me crazy. The excellent cake will be served. Well, you know what? You don't have to have cake for an anniversary meeting. I know it sounds crazy, but you could have cupcakes. You could have whatever you want. And get this. If you don't like the new preamble, you don't have to read it at your meeting. Imagine that. There's no rule that says it's only an AA meeting if the preamble is read. We give great freedom to our groups. But oftentimes when we hear it talked about, it's always used about, well, we're going to change or modify one of the other traditions because that's what our group thinks. And that's just not why this tradition was written. Tradition 5, which is often confused with tradition 3, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. This is the primary purpose tradition. This is all about what we do. This is what we do. And if you go to the AA group pamphlet and you go to page 18, when you feel like it, you don't have to go to it now. I love this kind of primary purpose statement paragraph. Primary purpose of any AA group is to carry the AA message to alcoholics. Experience with alcohol is one thing all AA members have in common. It is misleading to hint or give the impression that AA solves other problems or knows what to do about drug addiction. So let me tell you something that maybe you've not heard before. Talking about mentioning weed or coke, it's not a traditions violation. Imagine we called somebody out on a traditions violation every time they went to a podium and said, oh, I was depressed. Traditions violation. Oh, I beat up a bouncer. Oh, traditions violation. Oh, I crashed a car. Oh, I had a one-night stand. I could go on and on. We're not talking about censoring people's stories. We want people to be honest about their story. Whenever I hear this kind of censorship talk, it drives me crazy. And I'm a person who believes that we caused a lot of the problems in AA by focusing on censoring people's stories instead of our message. our message is about recovery from alcoholism. It's drug addiction that we don't deal with in AA. Now, are there people who are alcoholic and drug addicts? Yes, of course there are. But I have a newsflash. There's alcoholics and codependents. There's alcoholics and Al-Anons. There's alcoholics and workaholics. There's alcoholics and crystal meth addicts. There's alcoholics and everything. But, and some of those people, and this is the tricky part, some of those people, everything gets better when they stop drinking and start working the steps. But what we're all supposed to have in common is our alcoholism. Where it becomes deadly, and I don't use the word deadly lightly, is when people in AA who've had a spiritual experience as a result of the 12 steps convince themselves that they can help non-alcoholics go through steps 2 to 12. That's the deadly part. Because identification is the first 50 pages of the big book. And when we start saying certain things that become popular, let me throw two out that drive me crazy. Number one, non-conference approved substances. I just want to make another little public service announcement. Alcohol is not even conference approved. I just want to let everyone know this. I'm not sure why this is thought, but alcohol is not even conference approved. There is no such thing as non-conference approved substances. Whatever you say that, you're creating more trouble and problems. If you like to go out and get hammered and go home to your parents' house and light a joint and watch Pink Floyd The Wall, have at it. I could care less. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who sits next to you in a meeting who says they've never drank, who's been shooting heroin, and we all know what happens. You know, yes, some people, some, very few, and I've had to change my mind on this. Is it possible that if I drink tonight, I'm going to die tonight? Yes, it's possible. But the percentages aren't as high as a heroin addict who goes out and shoots heroin tonight. Those odds of dying are much higher. So we should not be playing with people's lives. The other thing I want to clarify, another little great one you hear, alcohol in any form, that the reason that that's in the big book is so that you can convince yourself that you can work with someone who's used alcohol in any form. I just want to go back to what I was talking about, big book studies. When you go to a big book study, the first thing they tell you is, Billy, you like to make up your own definitions of words. I'd be like, really? Yep, you do. You'll see. You need to use a dictionary definition. And most of us who've gone through the big book have learned that we do better when we accept the real definition of words, not our own. Well, look up drinking or alcohol in the dictionary. Look up alcoholism. Alcohol in any form, we were talking about forms of alcohol. And again, I am not about kicking people out of AA. I am not about witch hunts. I'm about helping people to get to the place where they can get the same help that I received in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all I want, regardless of their problem. And maybe if we would get rid of the non-conference approved substance ridiculousness, and if we would stop picking on people because all they did was mention they took a toke of a joint or God knows what else they did, what we don't talk about or focus our meetings on is drug addiction. We stay away, and that's why it's written in the pamphlet. And it says, misleading to hint or give the impression that AA solves other problems. And I think a lot of us, if you got us alone, the people who have a little time, how many of us are there right now? A lot. If you got some of us together who have a little time and it may be sponsored people, they might tell you an honest story about how when you've been sponsoring somebody with time and their life is completely out of control with something else, but they haven't drank, but they just signed a second mortgage application and forged their spouse's name because their gambling is out of control. Everybody who's been sober a long time knows that, yeah, you might have to tell somebody eventually to go to another fellowship. Or maybe you need to get professional help. We don't do that either in AA. We don't give psychiatric advice. We just deal with the 12 steps and carrying our message. I am going to stop there and start on tradition 6 next week and finish, because I hate to split 6 and 7 because there's too many important things that are together. But I will open it up. We have a lot of people here. I will open it up. We're going to end at 9 tonight to be respectful of other people's schedules. That's something we should try and make sure that we do. People have families and kids and classes and jobs and other commitments, and we'll try to be done by 9 o'clock Eastern. But if somebody has a question, please send it to me in the chat and I will try to answer.
And I've got a couple I'm going to send over right now. There's a lot of stuff in the chat.
I don't quite get the non-conference approved alcohol thing. Well, if you listen to a lot of speaker tapes or even in your local clubhouse sometimes, you'll hear somebody say, oh, and I used to do a lot of non-conference approved things. And it's like their code word for not talking, mentioning drugs. And what I'm saying is alcohol is not conference approved either. I don't know where they get that name from. This witch hunt about the name marijuana or the name cocaine takes the focus off of what we should be talking about, which is not dealing with drug addiction in AA. Most alcoholics I know, when they drink, they do all kinds of things they're not supposed to do. Weed and cocaine, just the tip of the iceberg. Let's see. What is the blue card? The General Service Office publishes a blue card for the open and closed meeting. And the open meeting does not have the language that says non-alcoholics may attend as observers. But they you can buy them from GSO. Question on unity in the individual member who had been kicked out of a group or meeting. What is our responsibility to inform other groups of problem members who may be heading their way that we are kicking the can down the road, which is an action that can affect other groups and even AA as a whole? I think it's none of our business. If you're asking me that question, it's absolutely none of our business. We don't keep records. We don't have membership records. But I will tell you this. AA, the grapevine travels quickly, and I don't mean the one that comes in your mailbox. I mean the AA gossip mail. Someone get kicked out of a meeting, you hear about it pretty quick. But I would also say this. You know, you're dealing with removing someone from your meeting because you've determined that the behavior is not okay. When you start going to the part of telling other groups not to let somebody into an AA meeting, or alerting them of what you think their behavior is, I don't know. I just think it's gone too far. I will say this. I think we've played the role of the police for far too long. That we've tried to almost imply to people that if they're the victim of a crime, and it's somehow AA related, they shouldn't call the police. I would tell you, if you're the victim of a crime, it's no longer anything AA. It's simply a crime and you should call the police. You know, there's a meeting in New York that I love, and they have it's part of their opening statement, and it says, if a crime is committed here, this meeting stops becoming an AA meeting and immediately becomes a crime scene. I love that statement. We don't not call the police because of AA. If you feel unsafe, you call the police. You know, imagine this. Imagine you get up, you're minding your own business, you're late for the meeting, you can't sit through the whole thing without going to the bathroom. You have to go, right? Some people would be so mad that you got up and down during the speaker, but you got to go. And while you're walking back from the bathroom, you notice there's a fire in the kitchen where the coffee pot was, like a real fire. Should you not call the fire department? I mean, should you not call? I mean, at some point, we have to like be less rigid and more practical. So let's see. I'm confused about tradition 4. You made a simple statement. My statement was this. Tradition 4 does not apply to the other 11 traditions. It applies to all your local customs. What is the yellow card? The yellow card is the safety card. You can go on AA.org and look at it tonight. In the beginning of your talk, you mentioned the Bill W. writing. What book is that in? Hold on. I don't want to misquote. It's in The Best of Bill, if you can see that right now. The Best of Bill, it's a very small book published by the AA Grapevine. And it's a couple of Grapevine articles that are also in Language of the Heart, but in a very small book. In the triumphant problems other than alcohol, on the second to the last, I love these questions. Second to last, fourth semicolon, third comma, subsection 6. Okay, let's go. In the second to last page, there's a paragraph that says, there seems to be no reason why several AAs can't join if they wish with a group of street addicts to solve the alcohol and drug problem together. This confuses me, as it seems to imply that alcoholics can help street addicts, just not in a meeting setting. Does this hinder the identification process for the drug addict himself? No, let me talk about this. Great, great, great question. Just raising your hand on the screen, not electronically. So put your hand up or down. How many have heard this in a meeting? The following statement in reference to another 12-step fellowship. Oh, they don't have the solution there. Anyone ever heard that? Oh, yeah. And it's usually said by somebody who's never been to that fellowship, which is amazing. The point of that is that we can take our experience with the 12 steps and take someone through the steps or help them understand the process, because they're already getting identification from a meeting they go to that focuses on their particular problem. That's what Bill is talking about. And I would encourage anyone, if you're telling me that NA or HA or any other 12-step fellowship is not strong where you live and people are dying from it, well, then help them out. Teach them about the spiritual solution. Take them through steps 2 to 12. Show them what the big book says. The problem is, if they're not getting identification, they're not going to want to do the work in the steps. I mean, have you read the steps lately? Thorough house cleaning? Direct amends? Possibly having to believe in God? I mean, for new people, those are pretty drastic propositions. And so they have to identify before they're willing to do that. So that's what he's talking about in there. I understand we can mention weed in our story. However, we have to have a drinking problem to be an AA member in order to get proper help. Is that correct? Yes, of course. What is it that you don't like about the new traditions pamphlet? I don't have one in front of me, but tradition 3 is pretty bad. I could just start there. I've always seen AA as being very judgmental, makes it hard to come back. You know what? I really want to talk to that question because you might be right. I don't want to take away your experience. What I want to tell you, if there ever was a more unqualified group of people to judge other people, it's the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I want you to hear that loud and clear. Yes, I know. Sometimes people in AA are judgmental and they shouldn't be. And sometimes we act like compassion has gone out of style, and it hasn't. And sometimes, you know, when we approach the newcomer, like I said along last week, sometimes people in AA get too many years and not enough days. And they forget what it's like to be that close to death and that broken. And so to the person who wrote that, I'm sorry that you felt judged. But what I would tell you is this. Go to lots of different AA groups and find the AA that works for you. You'll find the group that you fit in. Find a home group, a real home group. Because my experience is this about home groups, that real home groups get rid of cliques, that cliques seem to really grow and fester in meetings that are not really groups, where the members of the group are not all connected together as members of that group. But please don't let any kind of judgment make you run out of AA at all. Is there a part in AA comes of age that you're referring to regarding the group conscience? Yes, if you read the section on tradition 2, it's in the 70, I want to say page 90 something. The traditions are like tradition 3 is 102. So it's in the 90s. There's a section for each tradition. Yes, it's really good. Really, really good. When I was fairly new, I was bringing a woman to a meeting who was not an alcoholic, and a member, oh, this is great. A member suggested she substitute a drug, whatever it talked about alcohol. After about 2 weeks of this, and she was sobbing, telling me she didn't get it. We were killing her, trying to tell her to substitute. Yes, of course. That process or procedure is not written anywhere. No. Don't tell the person to go somewhere else. I said it last week and I mean it. There's 237 of us right here, right now. There's 237 people in NA and HA and Al-Anon and a whole bunch of other places who are just as passionate and active about their 12-step fellowship as we are. Find out who those people are in your community. When you find out, when you run into someone who has that problem, whether it's Al-Anon, crystal meth, heroin, whatever, codependency, gambling, to be able to connect them with someone else's passionate in that fellowship, that's what we want to be able to do. Dee, I think we can end it there. Next week we will do traditions 6 through 12. And then we will start with the service manual. I do want to just throw out there, just in case anyone's not here, the service manual, the new service manual, I've been going through it and highlighting it and reading it and underlining it. And I really like it. But like the old service manual, it's a manual. And for a lot of people, it's a manual about something that you've never done. You ever try to let me give you this example in AA. How many people here have been to an international convention? Raise your hand. How many people? San Diego, Atlanta, Toronto, Minneapolis, whatever. You can't properly explain the experience of an international convention without being there. You can't. You can't explain it. Because it's one of those things that you have to experience to know. So I'm just suggesting have note paper for when we go through the service manual. Because my job is not to read to you, but to share my experience so that it makes sense. So that the words on the page, you can really picture what they mean. And for some of you, you might need to take some notes. So if you want to, I'm just throwing that out there. So D, I can close with the responsibility statement.
Yes, you may. Did you want to, I sent you a chat one question or
no? No.
Okay,
no.
That's all right. Thank you.
I'll just say this. I appreciate the person who wrote something about me doing another traditions workshop somewhere else, but when we get to tradition 12 next week, I give back because much has been invested in me, period, end of sentence. However, we don't need to be promoting me about where else I'm speaking. It's just, I can't do it. So thanks though. I appreciate it. I take it as a compliment, but thank you. So with that, after a moment of silence, we will close with the responsibility statement. And I'm going to, before I say it, I am going to put my email out there for anyone who has questions. It's there. Let me get it to everyone. And I will be glad to help you if you are looking for things in certain literature. I may take a while to get back to you. I may hand you off to someone else who would love to help you. But if you have a question, please reach out. That's it. After a moment of silence, we'll close with the responsibility statement. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Have a good night, everyone, and a very safe and healthy new year. And remember, newcomers still having lots of problems this time of year.